All right, good. Thank you, Mrs. Lapp. I appreciate that. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Look down in verse 6 again, where it says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You know, it's so important that we put the right training in our children, even when they're so very, very young. I've said this often, I attribute the things that I have as far as manners is concerned and things of that nature because I wasn't raised by my parents necessarily for the first 6 years, but the people that did raise me taught me a lot. And I remember some things that happened when I was 3 years of age. I remember distinctively some things that happened when I was 4 years of age and 5 years of age and 6 years of age. You'd be amazed at how much of an impression you make upon little young people, if you will. I watch our grandchildren, and I watch the things that they pick up. I watch how the manners are coming along, and I watch how they participate in various things. And when they learn something new, they're coming up, they're sharing those things. And some of the grandchildren are doing this at the age of 2, and the age of 3, and the age of 4, and on so. And so they're always learning. So it's important that you put the right things in at the right time. And by the way, don't be surprised about this. What you put in is what you're going to get out. Okay? Just to use farming terminology, if you plant a field full of corn, you can't expect to get squash out of it. Just doesn't work that way. Okay? What you put in is what you're going to get out, and that's in every area of life. As we speak about this tonight, about why Christian education, I hope that you'll attach yourself to it. I hope that you never become unattached to it. You know, a Christian school provides, of course, children with the education that encourages them to be able to flourish physically, mentally, spiritually, in every area of life so that they can become well in what they do. It's an alternative to public school education. It's an alternative to homeschooling education. It's an alternative to online learning, and it has some very good values about it. You know, the public schools, they are leading, if you would please, our next generation in the effort to fall away. We see this all over the nation that oftentimes, more than not, when a young person goes into a public school educational program, that by the time that they graduate from public school, their faith is damaged. We find out that they have no interest in coming to church faithfully. We find out as we run buses across our counties that some of those children are in dire straits of even learning how to behave when sitting in a church service. Studies have shown this, that there's an intensive secular humanistic indoctrination in public schools today. And over 80% of the children, according to these studies, have decided to walk away from church during their college age years. It's approximately 85% of Christian parents send their kids to public school. To me, that's amazing. In the current trends, you'll see that in the belief system that's being taught, of course, in the public schools, oftentimes will turn a young person away. I'm scared what's going to happen in the next years to come with the state of morality that you see among public school young people. And by the way, I was a public school young person. It was a little bit different when I was coming up. Matter of fact, we opened every day in the public school with prayer. We opened every day with the saluting the flag and saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We even had a devotional time over the speakers when I was in public school. The good thing about what's happening with our society, if there's any good that's going to come out of it, there's a record number now this fall of Christian schools that's going to be opening up all over the nation. People are putting millions and millions of dollars all across the nation to opening up Christian schools. It's amazing what is happening if you do a study on it, on how many hundreds and hundreds of Christian schools schools that are opening up this coming fall because of the will of the parents and trying to be able to establish a more reasonable area for their children to be educated. When you think about the way things are today, as I stated, from 20, 30, 40, or 50 years ago, it's completely different than the way it was. You know, I've often said this, you show me how a young person behaves in church, and that's what they get inside of the home, but it's also what they get inside of their educational institution. We see this, that many public schools across the nation, traditional values are now not like they used to be. The light of the gospel certainly is not like it used to be. You'll see again that there is an indoctrination, the LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. You'll see that they have their own objectives, even in the public school, where they're teaching it's okay to be able to have such a lifestyle. And it's confusing our young people. I've got a neighbor right now, his daughter came home, and his daughter, I said, daughter came home and said, I just want you to know, I'm not a girl anymore, I'm a boy. Now, can I tell you that that has been something that was picked up in the public school? You know, if you were born, can I help you? If you were born a biological boy, you'll always be a boy. If you were born a biological girl, then you'll always be a girl. Okay? That is not going to change by your choice. It changes. And by the way, they say oftentimes you hear it now, follow the science. Wouldn't it be good if they followed the science in this as well? But we see that we're losing ground in several areas. The education system has changed. It was Obama that started to push what they call Common Core education, and that is creeping into the educational system, even of Christian schools around the nation. So why is it that we should consider a Christian school? Let me give you some points tonight to think about. Statement one, the focus on character development. The focus on character development. Over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, here's what you see about our Lord. The Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, the Bible says, in favor with God. We want our children to be in favor with God. How is it that they can become in favor with God? They can increase in their wisdom and their stature, that is, before the Lord. Now, we see this all over where they're trying to teach children to identify with the way they feel. It's often dangerous to identify with your feelings and to be led by your feelings. You should be led by principle, not by personality, and not by that which is your feelings. One of the fearful things that I see in countries around the world is the fact that the way that communism started in those countries, they started to get rid of all of, if you would please, of history. We've seen that, the pulling down of statues. We've seen that. What's that doing? That's pulling down history. You look at it as saying, well, you know, that person was wrong. But wrong or right, they're still a part of history. We see that happening in America. We see it happening in America right now where they're rewriting the history books. We see it all over. By the way, some good godly parents are rising up and saying, not happening here, and they're coming together and they're firing those that are in charge in particular schools. But it seems to be going school by school or district by district, not nationwide. But here's what we understand. There's a focus in the Christian school on a character development. Now, can a person going to the public school turn out right? Yes, yes. Can they live for God? Yes, but can I tell you, through many trials and difficulties does it come. It's hard for a girl to dress modest in the public school. It's hard. Can it be done? We have some that do it, but it's difficult. It's hard to stand against that which is the wiles of the wicked one in the public school. We have some that's doing it, but I'm telling you, they're paying a price, and it's difficult. We have young people, however, that's falling more by the dozens, if you will, as they just want to go along with everybody else. Now, can I say, in the Christian school, there's the focus on character development. Statement number two, there's the focus to teach your child the Bible. Teach your child the Bible. While the emphasis has become de-emphasized in the public school, it is emphasized in the Christian school. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It's good for a child to learn the word of God and to hide the word of God in their heart. That is the foundation whereby we establish all principles. That's where we get our biblical worldview. Where do we get that? We get that because of the foundation that's laid not by religions, but by that which is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God, not following a cult, but following the Bible. But yet, it shouldn't be hostile when a person wants to live for God. It should be something that's well received. So why consider a Christian school? Because we focus on the character development. Why? Because we focus on teaching the child the Bible. Statement number three, why? Because we focus on biblical morals or biblical values or moral values. All one of the same. It's teaching a child that where they get their values is from God. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10, the Bible says, "For precept must be upon precept," the Bible says, "line upon line, here a little and there a little." And so we understand that where they get that, they don't just get that through Bible preaching. Bible preaching's good. They don't just get that through Bible teaching, but they get that through somebody just saying a sentence, somebody just explaining a concept, okay? So in a Christian school, what they learn is they learn the values of that which is right. The Bible says an iron sharpeneth iron. It's hard for something that is dull, something that's not right, to be able to sharpen that which is iron. Your young people, if you will, please, deserve the very best. They say that the average student attending a public school in 1 year will spend 1,100 hours sitting there being instructed by a teacher. That's a lot of time. 1,100 hours. They say if you attend a minimum of 5 days a week, that's 180 days in a year. That's a lot of days to be instructed by a teacher, if you will, please, that has the wrong culture, that has the wrong behavior, that has the wrong language, that has the wrong definition of life. Now, you understand that when a person does speak, they do, I don't care who it is, but they do give their opinions. Amen. You understand that. You've never heard a preacher behind a pulpit anywhere that doesn't be able, if you will, either on purpose or by accident, be able to give his opinion. You've never been in any type of teaching position where that teacher's not going to, at one way or another, use that opportunity to be able to influence. That's why I thank God that we have Christian teachers that's in the public school. That's a mission field. I thank God that we have Christian teachers that's teaching in our secular colleges, on our secular university campuses across America. That's a mission field. You know, to be able to take and to be able to speak and be able to help young people at those ages. But let me be honest with you. When they're sitting in that classroom 1,100 hours or 180 days in a year, they're just not getting the influence of that which is the teacher. They're learning moral values from their peers. Peer pressure is big. It's big. I've only met a few people that would stand up and stand strong against peer pressure. I know people that are adults, and because they work for a certain company and the certain company has a Christmas party every year, they'll go to it, they'll social drink. They shouldn't social drink, but they do. You know why? Because they want to fit in. The peer pressure. Now, if an adult will give in to peer pressure like that, what do you think it does to the mind and the heart of a child? The Bible talks that when a child is left to themselves, that they bringeth their mother shame. We touched on that principle this morning. Well, here's a child left to themselves trying to stand against a wave of wrong that's coming their direction, and it becomes increasingly almost impossible. Kids come to school and they're talking about this new television show that they watched and this new television show that they watched. All it does is push a certain agenda, if you will, that's not Christian, that's not traditional family. And what that does is that causes that young person to question mark, is it right? Is my parents wrong? Is the preacher wrong? Could it be that maybe I've thought wrong all the days of my life? Can I say this, that they're not just getting the pressure, they're not just getting the peer pressure, if you would, but they're watching and they're seeing the teacher's doing this, now the peers are doing this, now the entire school is doing this, and before you know it, they get swept away. We've had bus kids over the years that they did good till they hit those high school years. Once they hit those high school years, all of a sudden they stop riding the bus. You know why? Because of that peer pressure. You know why? Because of that teacher pressure, because of that environmental pressure. You know, the Bible does teach, listen to it, over in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says that a companion of fools. You've got to be very careful who you let your kid hang around. And by the way, that's in church too. You see some person in church and it's a teenager and they're acting like a cool cat and they're trying to get everybody else's attention. You beware of that one. You beware of that one. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're saying that. Let me say it again. You beware of that one. You know, that person's going to lead you astray because it's all about them. It's not about him. It's all about them. You be careful of that person, if you will, that all they're doing is trying to get attention. And when they walk in a room, they need everybody else's attention. When they're doing wrong, they want to get other people involved too. You be careful about somebody like that. They'll lead your child astray. It was the Heritage Group reporting that said this, that every day, 8,000 teenagers every day, 8,000 teenagers in the United States become infected by a sexually transmitted disease. 8,000 a day. You say, well, my teenager would never do that. Don't you ever say never. They get around the wrong crowd. They get around somebody's pulling their chain. They get around somebody that's trying to influence them and does influence them the wrong way. You say, well, what would you do, preacher? What would you do if my child was attending the public school and being around that type of influence? I'd take them out tomorrow. I'd get them out and I'd put them in an environment that at least it's conducive to Christianity. Now, by coming and by getting in a Christian school, by having Christian education, maybe later on they can be strong enough to stand. But here's my challenge is this. We have kids that used to come here that even attended the Christian school. They weren't strong enough to go to a secular school yet. Now, I'm being honest with you. They went to the secular school. You can't find them in church anywhere. They're not faithful anymore. When they do come, it's every so often. You know why? Somebody influenced their thinking. They don't have Christ first anymore. They got themselves first. They used to be some of the greatest soul winners in their church. They don't come soul winning no more. You know why? Something's more important than souls that's going to go to hell. It's what they're planning to do with their life. Can I tell you something tonight? When all of a sudden your priorities change and you don't keep God first, something's wrong in you. Not in society, in you. Here's what we understand tonight. In Christian education, there's the focus on character development. In Christian education, there's the focus to teach your child the Bible. In Christian education, there's the focus on that which is biblical moral values. In Christian education, there's the focus on teachers who model Christian principles. Now, they're not perfect. You don't have a perfect pastor. You don't have perfect staff. You don't have perfect deacons. We don't have perfect Sunday school teachers. And we don't have perfect members. You're not going to find perfection anywhere, but somebody should try. A for effort. Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, insomuch that they brought forth, this is of course the story of Peter, insomuch that they brought forth, it says, of the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And so they're saying, boy, if we can just get our ill, those that, if you would please, that are diseased, if we could just get them to Peter and just in his shadow. Now, what is that? That's influence. Boy, if we could just be able to influence, well, how do we influence? You're walking in somebody's shadow. Somebody is helping you to form the person that you will become. You're allowing people to come into your life. Hopefully good people. Hopefully Christians. Hopefully people that love God to be able to help you focus the right direction. I said that in the Christian school, the focus on character development is there. The focus to teach the children the Bible, it's there. The focus to be able to have biblical moral values is there. The focus to be able to have teachers that live by godly principles as a model is there. Statement number 5, the focus of Christ-honoring curriculum. Christ-honoring curriculum. I think it's neat. I think it's just absolutely neat that the parents of children are rising up across the country. I hear it all the time. Rising up across the country. You know when it was revealed? It was revealed during COVID. And all of a sudden, now they begin to show what they were teaching. And the parents of these children said, "Ooh, no, I can't believe they're teaching my child that." Now you know what they're doing? They're going back to these educational boards and they're saying, "You're not going to teach that material to my kid. You're not going to do that." Those that are hierarchy official educational type of leaders are saying, "You don't have a right because that child doesn't belong to you." May I correct them, please, and help you tonight? Yeah. That child belongs to God, and you're supposed to raise that child according to what God has to say, not according to what somebody else has to say. You have a responsibility to make sure that your child receives the right type of material. Come on. That's why I think it's crazy to let the idiot box be able to babysit your children. I think that is absolutely pathetic. You turn something on and you just let your child sit there and just take it in and take it in and take it in. And man, they're learning all sorts of different styles and they're learning all sorts of different ways to gigolo and they're learning all sorts of ways to think. And I'm telling you, that's dangerous. That's going to come back to haunt you one day. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that in the Christian school, the focus of Christ-honoring curriculum is there. Psalm 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." His delight is in the law of the Lord. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." You know, and so when a child comes to any type of school, they're going to have homework. They're going to have homework. They're going to have book assignments. Doesn't matter where they go. You know, they're taught that in the school during the day, and they're supposed to meditate in it in the night. They're supposed to take their studies home and learn and grow. That's what they're supposed to do. So the curriculum is important, because if it's taught in the school and they're meditating on it in the night, They're getting a lot more than just 1,100 hours, if you would please, of teaching. They're getting a lot more, if you would please, than 180 days, if you will. They're getting a lot more than that because they're expected from every school to have it in the day and also have it in the night. Now, wait a minute. One good thing about a Christian school is it's all God-connected. It's no evolution. It's God-connected. It's God-based. The foundation is upon that which is the scriptural truth. Now again, I'm not upset with those that choose to homeschool, but I am telling you, I see less and less people that's really able to do it right. Now I'm talking about our people. I'm talking about when I'd ask the kids, just to reemphasize, how's your school going? Well, we didn't do any this week. Well, how did it go the week before? Well, mom was busy. What about the week before? Well, we went on vacation. What about the week before? Well, you know, we're busy helping around the house. Do not deprive your kids of education. Education is important to be able to teach them not just the basics, but the things that they need in order to be able to functionally provide for those in the future that they're going to be a part of their lives. Oh, you know, your children one day is going to get married. They're going to grow up. They're going to be somebody's husband. They're going to be somebody's wife. And what they learn will be that which carries over for the rest of their life. You better make sure you do a good job. It's going to be quick. They're going to grow up before your eyes, and they're going to be gone. They may move to another state or out of the country just to get away from you. No, no, no. You are with me, aren't you? Because they're following the will of God. But you understand this. You've only got so much time with them. You better make sure you train them right. You better make sure you spend time with them. And by the way, don't let them get away with murder. Oh, okay, let me rephrase that. I don't want my critics to say, well, yeah, you're telling them that's okay to get away with murder. I'm not talking about the murder of man. Don't let them get away, if you would please, with wrongdoing. And you turn a deaf ear. If you expect that child to grow up and have manners, you better stay on it every second of the day. You want them to behave, you can't let loose. You can't. You got to stay on them, and you've got to help them, and you've got to guide them. Don't forget, that child left to himself is going to bring mama shame one day. Here's what we understand about Christian education tonight. We understand this, that there's a focus on Christ-honoring curriculum. The Bible talks about, as I may reiterate, that there's that which is a meditation day and night. Statement number next, think about this. The focus on prayer as a part of their school day. You're not going to get that. I'm sorry, but you're not going to get it. In most public schools, you're not. Now, there's a difference here. Some public schools have good, godly principles. Most of those, if you will, please, are trying. But they're limited. They're limited. We had some of our men that would go and get into public schools here in America. And they went in with the intent of giving the gospel. And the principal said, you can talk about it, but you can't allow them to make a decision for Christ. There's a limitation. Even those that would pray before Congress, you know, Congress still opens up in prayer every day that Congress is in session. But they're instructed, you can pray, but don't mention the name of Jesus. And it's something that the Muslims can have their name mentioned, You could mention Buddha if you want, yes. Muhammad, whatever. You can be able to mention, if you would please, anybody you want to, but they're crossing out the name of Christ. I wonder why that is. May I say this tonight? I'm saying that the focus on prayer as a part of the school day. The Bible says over in Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and ye shall hear my voice. Now, he said he's going to hear the voice. When? Well, when you pray. Teach the children to pray. You know, there's a lot of times in Christian school where we pray. We pray in the classroom. Oh, yeah. We pray in the dining hall. There's prayers in chapel. There's prayers, if you would please, when there is extra activities. Lots of praying going on. Amen. Somebody gets in trouble, we pray with them. We pray with those that we hope that we'll never get in trouble. All right, but there's lots of praying. Statement number 7, I'm almost done. There's that which is the focus on a safe emotional and spiritual environment. There's the focus on a safe, emotional, spiritual environment. Here's what David said. Psalm 122 and verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of God. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to develop children in their spiritual well-being as well. It's good to talk about church in school. Amen. It's good to talk about the Bible in school. It's good to talk about soul winning in school. It's good to talk about having a ministry for God in school. It's good to talk about what I got out of the message in church in school. It's good to be able to talk about those things that and those teachers talk about those things and those students. By the way, you can have the right type of peer pressure in school. If it's a Christian school, you got the liberty to be able to do that. I said in the Christian school, there's a focus on the character development. There's a focus on teaching the child the Bible. There's a focus on biblical moral values. There's a focus on teachers who are the role models of Christian principles. There's a focus on Christ-honoring curriculum. There's a focus on prayer as a part of their school day. There's a focus on having a safe emotional and spiritual environment. Statement number 8, I have two more after this. There's a focus on the child's individual attention and instruction. When you're in a big classroom and somebody begins to fall behind, it's hard to go to that one when you have 50, 60, 70 other people in that classroom and try to nurture them as an individual. When you have small classroom settings, then it's easier to be able to give attention to that one as well as keeping the others going in the other direction as well. Psalm 71 and verse 17, the Bible says, O God, thou hast taught me, listen to it now, from my youth, and hitherto have I declared, hitherto, since you've taught me as a youth, hitherto, he says, I have declared thy wondrous works. So what is that? That's a faith-based teaching, if you will. That's a teacher, if you will, that's taken a child and using their talents and using their gifts and being able to get them. I love Mrs. Shipline's done a tremendous job with our orchestra and stuff like that. But, you know, that's a concentration effort. Brother Walters with the church plant, that's a concentrated effort. Every bus captain that has workers that work on a bus route, that's a concentrated effort. Every choir member that sings in the choir, every nursery worker that works in the nursery, every person that works in a child ministry or a teen ministry or is an adult Sunday school teacher, that, if you would please, is somebody that's giving it their very, very best to be able to help those students that's underneath their mentoring. Statement number next, think about this. A focus on positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure. I love it to be able to walk into a Christian school and you hear two teenagers saying, let me tell you about a bus teen that I led to Christ this past week. Let me tell you about who I sat next to on the bus, and I helped them to understand this is what the Bible teaches. You know, I think we need more teenagers, by the way. Listen to me, parents. I think it'd be good for you to get your teenagers in the bus ministry. Let them have a place to serve. Stop just letting them hold on to your apron string. Let them understand what it is to get out there and work with kids and be able to show people their need of Christ. I think here's what we do. We shadow our kids in areas, and you know, we do want to protect them, and don't misunderstand me. You ought to protect them, but you can show them the end result of sin without them tasting it. When we were training our kids to go soul winning, we'd be walking up to a door, and all of a sudden they hear cursing at the door. They'd see somebody drinking or smoking dope or whatever. I'd always remind them, I'd say, oh, don't you thank God that you're in a Christian home? Boy, don't you thank God for that? You don't have a daddy that drinks. You don't have a mama that smokes. Well, there's no drugs in the house. There's no alcohol in the house. Never will there be. Amen. Don't you thank God that you have that? And I would remind them of the end result of sin so that they one day would not be somebody that would succumb to the temptation of walking therein. You know, it's important for us to be able to focus on the positiveness of peer pressure. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." So God says that there needs to be that which is an influence. An influence. You can have the right type of influence. By the way, young people that go to the Christian school, you listen to me, you ought to be the right type of influence. You see another young person doing something wrong, you ought to say, look, I'll tell you what, you shouldn't be doing that. Boy, I remember the first time I ever went to a so-called Christian party is right after I got saved. And I was attending a church, and as I was going to church, one of the kids invited me, you know, and they invited me to go to this party. Now, it wasn't something that was sanctioned by the church. It wasn't a youth activity. I'll make that very clear. But they asked me to come to the party. I said, yeah, man, I like that. I've been to many parties. I like that. I thought, man, this is a Christian party. This is going to be like, wow. That's my first Christian party. I've never been to a Christian party before. I've been to other ones, but I've never been to a Christian party before. I thought everybody's going to be walking around with halos. I thought, man, this is going to be good. Yeah, I went inside. There was rock music. Yeah, there was pot at a so-called Christian party. I don't know what came over me. I've been very, up to that point, pretty timid. Pretty shy. I'd kind of be in my little corner, you know, but it just irritated me. Just got under my skin. You ever have something get under your skin? This got under my skin real good. And I got saved. Now, I never did drugs a day in my life. Never picked up the habit of smoking. Never drank. No liquors ever touched my lips. I mean, you know, but when I got saved, I did get saved. And I got saved from working my way to heaven to the good grace of God. I got saved. I don't know what came over me, but it got under my skin. And I found me a little coffee table. You might remember those of the olden days. And it looked pretty sturdy. And I jumped up on that coffee table. And I said, "You look up here. Look at me." I said, "I'm ashamed of you. I come to your church, and some of you are in that church, and here I am." I said, "I got saved." You're no different, my heathen friends. Shame! And I walked out. I felt pretty good. Can I tell you it narrowed down who was going to be my friends? I didn't have to worry. Do I need to break off from so-and-so? Do I need to break off from so-and-so? I'd see my friends. It was at that party in the public school. And I'd say, "Hey, man, how you doing?" They snubbed me. They just walked away, and I was just kind of glad about that. Amen. Some of them later on came to the Bible club, and they got saved. Amen. and they were in a Christian church. Now, can I tell you this? Can I say this? Can I say it is very, very important to focus on positive pressure? Boy, I thank God for the young ladies that's in this room that dress like ladies and practice modest apparel. I thank God for you. Boy, I thank God for you. I thank God for your mama. I thank God for you. Boy, I thank God for you. For those of you that's decided to stay pure, young people, until the day of marriage, I thank God for you. You're a hero. I thank God for you. Boy, I thank God for those that decide that they could do anything they wanted on Saturday, but they go out on a bus route.
Amen.
They work a bus route.
Yes, sir.
They sweat. They toil. They go out and they give people the gospel. When others are just playing around on Saturday, they're out there because they really want to see God change somebody's life eternally.
Amen.
Boy, I thank God for you. I tell you, I do. And summer's here. Our bus captain, several of them, came by me today and said, "Preacher, it's hot on that bus. Summer is here." By the way, I could tell it was hot on the bus because I smelt them before I saw them. But that's good. That's not bad. That's good. Yesterday, Brother Yao and I was out knocking doors. First part of the day, he was with me as my partner, and then later on, somebody different. But Brother Yao, the first part of the day, and we went out door knocking, and it was in the morning time. We had the privilege to see four people get saved. We were excited about that. But can I tell you, even in the morning time, knocking doors in a trailer park, by the time I got done and we decided to take a lunch break around 1:30 or so, can I tell you, by the time I got done, I was sweating bullets. Nobody had to smell me. I smelled me, and I don't smell very well. But I felt good about it. Came across a 27-year-old, showed him how to be saved. He bowed his heart and received Christ. He said, "Where you been all my life?" Felt pretty good about it. Knocked on the door. This lady had a fancy Jeep. Brother Yao had already knocked on her door and talked to her. I just like talking to people. I do. That's one thing I enjoy. I enjoy people. I knocked on the door. I said, "Ma'am, I know he's already knocked on your door, but I'm here again." I said, "I want to know one thing. Where'd you get that Jeep?" "That's one of the nicest Jeeps I've ever seen in my life." She stepped outside. We started talking about her Jeep. Hello. I mean, I had the privilege to be able to give her the gospel and go again. Had a registered nurse I talked to, and I said, "How long you been a nurse?" She said, "I've been a nurse for 12 years, and she said, "I enjoy it." And I said, "Well, do you ever see people die?" She said, "Yeah, it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life, somebody die." I said, "I would agree. I preach a lot of funerals. They come to me after they die, and I help put them in the ground." I said, "Some of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life is to preach a funeral of somebody that's not saved. You don't know what to say, somebody not saved. You just don't know how to be able to close it off, somebody not saved." But I said, "Ma'am, let me tell you something. We've seen a lot of people get saved at funerals.
Amen.
You saved?" She said, "I'm not." I said, "Let's talk about that being saved stuff. You want to?" She said, "Yeah." She stepped outside. We were standing on her porch, and she got saved.
Amen.
Now, can I tell you this? Can I say there is that? You hear stories like that. It's good to hear the preachers doing something. It's good to hear when a teacher gets up and says, "Hey, I just want to testify. Let me tell you how God answered prayer." But it's even better when that which is the peer of you tells about that. You know, can I tell you what's going to fire up a youth department is teenagers that's on fire for God when it comes to soul winning. Can I tell you what's going to fire up a church is all of a sudden when somebody says, "I'm not going to live for me anymore, but I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to show somebody how to be saved and how to be able to go to heaven." Can I tell you, you'll not get closer to God than at that moment when you're showing somebody how to be saved.
Amen.
I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there's a focus on positive peer pressure. Then statement number last, and that is this. There's a focus on the development of the whole child. The whole child. You know, one thing I like about the Christian school is the fact that they can help a child to develop all the way through. You know, you get to see, I'm not on every campus in the world, but I'm on this campus. And I get to walk down the hallways and say, how you doing? How you doing? I can see a teenager when their countenance changes. They don't just have a pastor on Sunday. They got one on Monday too. And they got one on Tuesday. And they got one on Wednesday. And they got one on Thursday. And they got one on Friday. And they come soul winning, they got one on Saturday. Then they see me again on Sunday. Wow, they get a pastor plugged in 7 days a week. And I get to watch them, and I get to watch their steps change. I say, you okay? You all right? Need to talk? You all right? You okay? Some teenagers and some college students, I always tell them during the week, my door is open. If my door is open, it's open for you. That means it's open for you. If it's shut, that means I'm counseling somebody or I'm studying. I can't talk to you at that time. Go through the secretary, make an appointment, or text me and I'll get back with you. But if it's open, it's open for you. I cannot begin to tell you how many times a young person will stop through and say, I've got a burden. Will you talk with me? I'll say, sure. Come on in. Have a seat. Or somebody that's a college student will come in and say, can we talk just a little bit? And some of them just want to come in and chit-chat. Well, I'm for chit-chatting. Well, that means small talk. I'm for that. They'll stop by. Some of the engaged couples will come in, and especially some of the boys will come in and say, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Should I be doing something different? She liked me before we got engaged. But something's changed. Am I still heading down the right path? Oh, they'll come in, they'll do this. Especially dating couples, they'll say, look, we're wanting to get engaged, but we're not sure we're ready yet. Can you help us? Are we ready yet? Some guys come in and say, preacher, I've been praying for a girl. Do you know of anybody that's available? I've been praying for a long time, and it just seems like every time I pray for somebody, somebody takes them. I said, what do you want me to do, untake them? Now, I don't have hardly any girls that come to my office and say, preacher, I'm praying for a guy. Can you help me? No, they're too busy running from the guys that's praying so much. That's why. Here's what we understand tonight, and I'm done. Statement number one, I said this. The advantages of going to a Christian school is this. They focus on character development, helping the child by teaching them the Bible. They focus on biblical moral values. They focus, if you would please, on being the teacher they should be to teach godly Bible principles. They focus on Christian, if you would please, Christ-honoring curriculum. They focus on prayer as being a part of the daily schedule. They focus on having a safe emotional and spiritual environment. They focus on the child giving individual attention and instruction to each child. They focus on positive peer pressure, and they focus also on the development of the whole child. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. It needs to be well-rounded. Well-rounded. Oh, I see kids walking down the hallway, and they don't walk always like they're Mr. and Miss Education. Oh, sometimes they're carried on a little bit, smiling and trading a joke or two, and to them and their little minds, that joke is funny. And so they'll begin to giggle. They'll begin to laugh. But can I tell you, it's wholesome. It's the whole person. Huh. I've seen some kids in our school that maybe a teacher will come, or maybe a friend will come, and they'll say, you know, I'm worried about so-and-so, but I've watched their character. I've watched their character. And they'll say, I'm worried about so-and-so, and I'll say, well, I think they'll be okay. I've watched them, and they've got good character, and you give them a little bit. They're going through the valley right now, but they'll come out on top side. I'll watch them closer, too, but I think they'll make it through. You know, I think this. I think that it's very important that you put them in an environment, put them in a place where they're able to grow so later on they can glow for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, by the way, I think some people can be able to make it at homeschooling if they know what they're doing with their children. I think there's few that can make it in the public schools. All of a sudden, God gets a hold of them, and boy, they begin to charge hell with a squirt gun. I believe that. I believe that. But in our day and time, can I tell you, there's great merit, there's great value, there's great importance. And having a Christian school sure does make life a whole lot easier on that young person that comes in, because it fortifies their faith, so that when they become old, they will not depart from it.